Hey there, my friends. Welcome back. In this episode, I'm so excited because we are officially going to close the book, if you will, no pun intended, on The Slight Edge with my man, Will. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. And today, as I said, I know I've been talking about this for weeks now. Finally, Will and I got together and we're going to talk The Slight Edge. So Will, thanks for being here, brother. And I got to say again, and I know I told you this probably twice now off air and about four times in our last podcast, but brother, what a great book. What a great book. Thanks for introducing me to that, man.
Absolutely. My CEO at Grin, Brandon Brown, recommended I read that book several years ago and got it from him, and I keep passing it along. It was a great read, and it taught me a lot.
So, I mean, what a great lead-in, and you didn't even plan that, I bet. But so here's the thing. What out of everything in the book, because, I mean, there's many different pieces, what's kind of that biggest piece for you that gave you the biggest kind of aha and sent you vertical?
I think the biggest thing was just taking things in small chunks at a time and not overdoing it, because I think a lot of people, whether it's prospecting or working out, they're like, get this motivation to work out and just go hard and lose a bunch of weight. And then they do like six HIIT classes their first week, and they do no dieting, and then they're burning themselves out. They're like, this sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. And they go back to their old ways, opposed to The Slight Edge saying, hey, how about instead of you doing six HIIT classes a week, how about we just start with walking three times? And then you walk three times a week for 30 minutes. Then maybe you do 40 minutes three times a week. And then you do this for a couple months and you're like, all right, I think I've actually mastered being consistent with my walking. Maybe you up it to four or five times a week at an hour. And next thing you know, you're in extremely great shape, but you're like, how did this happen? Because it's the small things that happen over time that really bake in those habits. So I like how he framed it as like, don't like you wouldn't just go, you know, if you've never ran before, you wouldn't just go run a marathon. You would first start walking. You would first start mastering to run a mile, then so on and so forth. But yeah, it was a really good book on just breaking things up.
I enjoyed, everything you just said for sure. You know, mastering the mundane. One thing that hit me was he said, you know, it's easy to do, but it's easier not to do. Mm-hmm. And that for me, I've said that in my head. I can't tell you how many times since I read that book, because it is true. Like, I put a chin up bar in my office here because I just find during the day, I don't necessarily have time to leave and go to the gym, right? Like, I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is kind of like, normally what would happen is my lunchtime was my workout time, but I'm finding like meetings roll into lunch. And then all of a sudden there's a challenge, there's an issue. So what I've done now is I said, okay, how am I going to set up these small things? And I remember last time we spoke, I was telling you, like, 2 months ago, I could barely do one chin up. Like, I couldn't even pull my body weight up. Now I'm up to like 60. And it's just, I'll send a couple emails and I'll get up and I'll do 10 reps, 10 chin-ups. And I'll come back and I'll send a couple emails. I'll make a few phone calls. I'll do chin-up. I'll go and do a meeting and then I'll do a chin-up. And it's like, you're not drenching sweat, but throughout the day, I'm progressing through 70, 80, some days 90 chin-ups. And the next day I'll do pull-ups. And then the next day I'll do chin-ups. And the next day I'll do pull-ups and I'll do dips. And it's just that constant kind of mini spurts, if you will, but not necessarily saying, ah, oh, damn, I missed my workout again today. It's like, okay, hold on. I got a lull. I'm done. You know, I'm done this call and I've got 4 minutes to my next one. Well, I can pound out 10 chin-ups in under, you know, a minute and a half. And then like, you just go bang, and it's maximizing that time, because going back to Jeff Olson and what he said, the compound effect. See, I think this is something that I think, especially we as sales reps, right? Like, we're both in sales, different industries, but the same industries now because of Bridger and stuff. And we love that dopamine hit, man. We love closing the sale. And sometimes we don't get that dopamine hit for a few weeks, maybe a month and a half. And it's like that motivation starts waning, right? But keeping in mind the small things have that massive compound effect. You know, you put $100,000 in a bank account, the next day it's not worth $1 million, but over time it is. And that's where we're at with ourselves and our you know, job function, tasks, whatever we want, our careers, if you will. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's yeah, it's an amazing book. So I got to ask you this. From beginning of the book to the end of the book, what are some of the biggest changes you found in your day-to-day practices that you still practice today? Because I know a lot of people read books. They're like, this is awesome. And then it kind of goes on the bookshelf and it becomes shelf help instead of self-help, right?
I think I implemented a lot of practices straight away after that book. One of those was my 401k, because he talks a lot about 401k balances and how when you start young versus when you start older, it doesn't matter if the person who's older than you makes twice as much, you'll still actually beat them when it's all said and done because of that time and compound effect. And it just has more time in the market. So I've been diligent about my investments. Also, it's taught me how to read a book properly. I like how he said that really you should read a book 10 pages a day. Because a lot of times people say, I'm going to read this book. They read like 50 pages. They're exhausted. They close it and they never see it again. But with the how he said, hey, just read 10 pages a day. Now I'm actually completing books, I'm enjoying books, and I'm remembering what I learned from last night. So I'm like, okay, I read 10 pages. It's about a chapter or so. What did I learn in that chapter? Right now I'm reading a book by Gary Vee, and I learned about empathy last night. Okay, now tonight I'm going to think about something else because it's that 10 pages. But when you read 50 pages at once, it's like hard to really remember like what you just learned on your lesson.
You know, it's interesting you said that, because I was like a couple of years ago, I was reading a book a week minimum.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of information to consume. And I remember when I first heard him say, you know, 10 pages, I'm like, 10 pages, like, what is 10 pages? And then, like, no joke, this is literally what I'm like, 10 pages, what is that? And then I started practicing, and you're absolutely right. The consumption and the absorption, I'm going to say, more than the consumption, because I think consumption is just reading. The absorption of the words, of the framework, of the process hits you harder. You know, one thing that hit me with it was the chapter on personal development. I thought that was one of the best chapters of the book, where he says there are no quantum leaps, because I've been to, I can't even count how many personal development seminars, taken personal development courses, paid thousands of dollars for courses. And you get the course expecting that quantum leap that you're promised at the beginning of the course, and then nothing happens. And it gives the industry a bad name, right? And just the way he said it, he said, like, listen, yeah, sure, you can make quantum leaps, but there's so few and far between. There is no such thing as a quantum leap. And that, for me, that I think I listened to that chapter and read it, because I also started something new with the Slight Edges. I was reading while I was listening. I don't know if you ever tried that, but my man, that is insane from absorption. Like, insane.
I'm gonna check that out.
And then, yeah, really, check it out. And then another thing is, if you're listening, put it on 1.25 speed, because just the distortion in the voice, and the voice really speeding up, and you got to really pay attention to what they're saying. Like, it creates a, in my opinion, anyways, it created a much broader amplitude of listening, because you're really paying attention to the words, right? Kind of like when you meet somebody with an accent, you're like, and you're like really leaning in. You're like, okay, what is he? You know, I just watched Roadhouse with Conor McGregor, and I'm like, what did he just say? And I'm like, every time he was about to open his mouth, I'm like, I really got to pay attention here. And so when you speed up the voice and everything's going at such a faster pace, it's like, you really got to pay attention. That was That's one great. Thing to me that was just insane. And I was like, wow. Because normally most books, especially in that genre, right? That genre is a little personal development / business / personal growth / professional growth. They honor, you know, especially when Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich comes up in a book, it's typically that honor of the personal development. But for him to debunk the myth of quantum leaps, I think was spectacular. Did you get that from that piece of the book too as well?
Yeah, of course. I mean, nothing in life is like a quantum leap. I mean, you're going to learn the best when you have a consistent rhythm of learning. Like right now I'm in golf lessons. Like golf is a very difficult sport because there's so many things that go into it. And one lesson won't change my golf game forever, but 10 consecutive lessons over 10 weeks, well, that might make a lasting impact, but it's still not going to make me Tiger Woods. Yeah, it'll take me from novice to maybe intermediate, but then to go to intermediate to expert, that might be 20 lessons, 30 lessons. You never know. So it's you're never going to have a quantum leap. And, you know, I've been doing golf lessons for like past 4 months, and am I really improved that much? And then I'll go out and I'll see a really big improvement, but it's like that small compound effect of all those lessons over time that really leads me to be now better at golf. It wasn't one lesson in particular, but it was all of them compounded into one.
Plus practice.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus practice. I mean, I remember I went to Golf Digest school and was lucky enough. The company I worked for, I won a sales competition, and the owner took me to Golf Digest school. And we had a week long with Tim Mahoney. And at that time, Tim Mahoney at that time was number two in the world. Number one was Butch Harmon, and he was Tiger Woods' golf coach. So just to give you the level of the individual, right? And I remember him saying one thing. He said, okay, so before I leave, of course, I'm talking trash to all my boys, right? I'm like, dudes, when I get back, I am going to take all of your money. And I mean, all of it. So save up because you're done. Like, you're going to have to sell your car. I'm going to take so much from you. And we get there. And of course, the whole flight will. And we're there, and I'm telling the owner of the company, I'm like, man, I'm going to crush it when I get back. Like, you don't understand. I think I'm going to quit because I'm just going to start taking people's money on the golf course. And he's laughing at me, and I'm sure he knew what was going to happen. We get there, and first thing Tim Mahoney says, he says, when you leave here, you're going to be worse than when you came. But if you stick to it, be consistent, stay with the parameters that I teach you, you're going to be shooting par golf in no time. And I got back. So when I left, I was like 92, 93, the odd foot wedge, but I was 90, you know, in that range, right? I got back shooting 110, 150. And I was losing my marbles, but he kept saying, don't go back to what, like, and this is where it's easier not to do it, right? To go back. And I remember, and by the end of the summer, I was playing better golf. By the end of the next summer, I was pretty much a scratch golfer, won a couple of golf tournaments at 71, 69s. Like that first summer, I got all my money taken. I made it up the next summer though, brother. You know what I mean? I doubled down. But it was one of these things. And it's interesting you bring it back to golf because golf is one of those things. If you've played golf before you get lessons, you're going to be worse off, and your immediate like response internally is going to be, go back to my old swing. It worked. I'm good. But if you really want to get better, you stick to the processes, the routine, the frameworks that really get you to that next level. Because where we are today, we cannot get higher until we learn into that height, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think this is with everything. You know, you look at some of the greatest athletes in the planet and the amount of years they dedicated, the small mundane things like standing at the free throw line and doing 300 free throws. Vijay Singh used to hit 2,000 golf balls a day on the driving range, not play golf. What do we all do? We want to play golf. We don't want to go to the driving range and spend 7, 8, 9 hours hitting a golf ball at the same friggin' target. But that's what's going to get us to that next level. And I think in sales, in life in general, we keep compounding those things. And this is, I mean, all of this, this book just kind of solidified all of that information in my head that we tend to forget.
Yeah. To me, it was a great book because it just slowed things down. And instead of speeding things up, it slowed things down. But by slowing things down, you're actually at the right pace because you're actually going to be consistent. And I feel like that was really key of just like, I was so consistent where I said, like, instead of like, I would just do like, all right, every day I'm just going to do an hour and a half of prospecting, hour and a half of prospecting, hour and a half of prospecting. And then, you know, you do that for 20 business days a month. That's a lot of hours that you just invested. And one of your teammates might have done 8 hours, 2 days, the month, just the whole day dedicated, went all out. But I actually now have more hours than them. And I was probably more focused because I wasn't like trying to do everything at once. I actually was focused during that block. And then when it was over, that was it.
And probably had a more enjoyable time doing it because the stress and the anxiety, the angst isn't there. You know, it's interesting you say that because I've actually started marking off in my calendar blocks of time to sell, as opposed to just saying all day, every day, that's what I'm doing. It's like specific times where I put my headphones on and I just go all in. And I find my energy levels are different. Mm-hmm. I'm not burnt out at the end of the day like I used to be. And it's like it's fun again, I guess, is if for lack of a better term, like it's enjoyable, right? You get to be creative. You get to try new things. You get to do it. And the enjoyment just kicks in tenfold.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sales is all about slight edge. It's about having that little bit of prospecting, that little bit more calls, a little bit more cold emails. So any sales rep should check out Slight Edge because it's not only good for your sales career, but also your personal life. And you're going to start to do things differently. You're going to start to break things up. You're actually going to finish things what you start instead of starting things going so hard and then never finishing.
Mm. And consistency. And, you know, Jeff Olson and John David Mann actually was the second author of this. A really good dear friend of mine, Bob Berg, wrote the Go-Giver series of books with John David Mann. Have had the pleasure of speaking with John numerous times. Amazing individual. I didn't realize at first that John David Mann was an author in this until he actually said it at the end of the book. Because I don't look at the cover, right? I just dive right in and go. And it was amazing because once he said it, I was like, oh my gosh, this does feel like a John David Mann book. And, you know, for all of you watching, listen, I'm going to second what Will said there. It is a book that I think every single professional that struggles with the mundane in their business. So sales, customer service, management, running a team, like all of it. I do believe the Slight Edge can help you in a million different ways. And I mean, we're not even coming close to, you know, in a 15, 20 minute podcast, you can't even come close to scratching the surface on it. But I think the points we just hit, Will, are major points that I think will really resonate with people.
I agree. And I mean, a lot of things I do, I like to do things that add up. And like in sales, you mentioned earlier, sometimes you feel like, man, I haven't closed a deal in a while. Like, can I close a deal? Am I good at sales? But if you do the slight edge stuff, if you were consistent, if you did do your daily prospecting, it's going to hit. It just might not hit for 30 or 60 or 90 more days, but it's going to come. So just keep being consistent. Keep doing the mundane tasks. Next thing you know, you're going to wake up 30, 60 days from now, like, how do I have all these deals? It was actually the work you put in 30, 60, 90 days ago. So what you're seeing today is a result of previous work.
I love that. I love that. Thanks for being here, brother. I know you got to get going. I know we're a little bit over time, so I apologize to everyone for a little bit of a short podcast today. We'll have Will back on. I'm going to convince him to come back on and talk about more stuff. Cause I enjoy hanging out with you, brother. You're a gem. You're truly so authentic and, you know, just everything about you screams authenticity and next level for everybody that you come in contact with. Like even your contact, for all those of you that don't know, follow Will on Sell That SaaS, his podcast. Make sure you go and subscribe to it. Follow him on YouTube because, I mean, the content you put out, buddy, is awesome. And thanks, Dan. So you're always so casual about it. I love it because you're so relaxed and you're casual. You're like, yeah, man. You know, it's like this. And I love it. I love it, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's that's all we can do, right? At the end of the day, especially as a sales rep, it's great to be authentic in anything you do because the minute that it's not you, the buyer can tell and the audience can tell. So whether you think, I don't know if I should be myself because XYZ sales rep in my company is much better than me and he or she is way different than me, maybe I should be more like them. Actually, you should probably just take some of their tactics, but be yourself. And that's the same thing when it comes to content because look, I'm not chasing likes. I'm not chasing follows. I'm just chasing impact. And so if I can impact one person through my video in a positive way, mission complete.
Well, I can tell you your mission's complete, brother.
Thank you.